I'm all about the hustle, I'm all about the grind. Every day I'm trying to get it, take it one step at a time.
Hey everyone, welcome to Carl Brizzy Live. Carl Brizzy here, another podcast. This is going to be an interesting one as I sit here with my my friend and my producer, Rob Kendall. Rob, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks, Carl. And I know you were wanting to comment about an email you got from one of the Parkland students who is now advocating against the Second Amendment, and you were like enraged about this.
Children who don't know anything about anything at this point in their lives. As you and I were saying, 5 years ago, they were 12. And there's nothing that happened in between those from 12 to 17 that is going to cause them to have an informed opinion about the way the world and the way the country and the way the Constitution and the way legislation ought to be done and interpreted. And so, you know, these kids are completely being manipulated. And of course, this is underscored by the fact that this walkout that occurred last week, there were 5 and 6 year olds who were being let out of class. And, you know, they were being let out of class. And one of the reasons we know that this happened is because there was a school safety officer, you know, a crosswalk officer, who was like a little nervous that the kids left the safe confines of the classroom to leave the school at 5 and 6 years old, being led by, you know, a teacher.
Isn't that interesting, too, that because the whole thing is, what is it called, March for Our Lives?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, when I remember when I was 6, the only thing I knew that I was marching to was the lunch line.
Right.
I don't think I could have possibly had an understanding of what it meant to march for your life.
Come on. You know, it's they're completely being manipulated. And what I want to talk about in the next couple of segments is this phenomenon, because I think that this, all of this March for Our Lives, or this, you know, this petition, you know, with these kids being on news and what would you say, Time Magazine now and everything, you know, can you tell me, Mr. Politician, that you won't accept a single donation from the NRA, as if the NRA is somehow responsible for what happened at Parkland or anywhere else? Right, that to me is one of the most dishonest statements that someone can make. The NRA is an advocacy organization, just like any other advocacy organization. Planned Parenthood is an advocacy organization, right? That's their job. They're there to advocate on behalf of their constituency. It's like what the ACLU used to do, right? Before they became all politically correct and sensitive about what free speech issues they were going to defend and not defend. And so to blame the NRA is complete moral shifting here to achieve a political purpose. As we've already stated, the people here to blame, number one, the school officials who knew. You know, and apparently that deputy that we've been so critical of, and I actually feel a little bit sorry for in a way, he was the one who requested that the shooter be committed. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, yeah, until just now.
Yeah, yeah. So he actually said something to school administrators, and of course it wasn't followed up on. So first failure. And you know, we talked about the FBI. We talked about the failures of the sheriff's office as well. Instead of these kids getting up and walking out of school and sending petitions and everything else, how about you kids take some responsibility? And when you see someone who's down and out, who may be isolated and ostracized, who no one's sitting with at lunch, maybe take some responsibility and you go over and you invite them to go sit at your table, right? It's really easy for everyone to point the fingers at other people and organizations, and it totally prevents them from accepting any kind of individual responsibility for how our society evolves and how we treat other people. And what I want to talk about in the next segment and the segment after that is that I really think parents should reconsider what universities people are planning on sending their kids to, because what is going on, and this is completely underscores what is currently happening with the high schools and the middle schools with regard to the shooting. But these colleges are becoming really in danger of isolating and restricting free speech, Rob. And so when we come back, I want to talk. I want to talk more about that. Carl Burzee live.
7 years in Folsom, in the hole for three. McNeil before that. McNeil is tough, as they say.
You looking to become a penologist?
You looking to go back?
Parents, listen up. Carl Burzee live. Carl Burzee here. I think that real consideration ought to be given about where you're going to send your children for college. And interestingly enough, my wife is with my daughter today visiting IU Bloomington. And so the topic is apropos, at least for me. A poll of college students that was sponsored by the American Council on Education asking students this question. How important, Rob, is free speech on campuses? A majority polled stated that support for both free speech and inclusion and diversity. So that was sort of a contra message, right? So how important is free speech as opposed to inclusion and diversity? As somehow the way this question was asked, it was that those two things, those ideals, were antithetical. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so when asked which was more important, now this is going to freak you out. 53% stated inclusion and diversity are more important. And only 46% said that free speech was. Now, you break that number down among the men who said, so the 46% now we're talking about, among men, 61% favored free speech, while only 35% of women did so. What does that tell you?
What should I know from this? Well,
it's frightening to me, man. It's a, you know, talk about a gender gap, right? I mean, not only is the gender gap about these ideals, I mean, it's pretty wide. It's double. It's almost double, right, for men. Not only is that alarming, but the fact that the way the question was asked, where being inclusive and being diverse was an ideal represented as opposite to the ideal of free speech. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I'm rolling with you.
Yeah. Okay. So listen. So the problem with this is that true diversity means tolerating inclusive and diverse free speech. It means tolerating hate speech. It means tolerating speech that you don't agree with. Right. That's what it means. That's the whole point of the First Amendment. We don't. If the only thing the First Amendment means is that we only tolerate speech that we agree with, then we don't need the First Amendment, right? And then we're going down a very dangerous road there. But this poll is alarming, and it affirms what I already know, and that is there's a free speech crisis on campuses throughout this country, throughout Canada. These universities, in my opinion, have abandoned any sort of classical liberal education, you know, bent on actually educating children to make, to study, to read, to make informed choices. And it's totally tilted toward identity-based social justice. And that's their agenda. Their agenda is based on the idea that our society is structured on an oppressive dominant scale, right? These oppressive dominant power structures that you always hear about if you YouTube anything, free speech protests or counter protesters on universities, all you'll hear about are these. Well, you know, it's the white male power structure, it's the white male hierarchy, and they don't believe that those hierarchies, Rob, are based on competence in any sense of the word. They don't believe that those hierarchies are based on any sort of individual characteristics, but that they're totally based on immutable characteristics, right? Like race and gender.
Makes sense.
Well, so
I mean, what you're saying here, the way you're laying it out, and as you often do, it all seems pretty simple, right?
Well, it's not though, right? So it's incredibly complicated because if you go into trying to examine this from the idea that everything you know about how a person achieves, let's say, success in the world is totally based on things that are outside of their control, like their race, their gender, sexual orientation, whatever, then you have completely eviscerated any sort of you know, individual freedom and choice in how you choose to conduct yourself within the world, right? Which completely abdicates people who don't maybe get to where they want to be from any sort of personal responsibility or liberty, right? Which goes back to, you know, all of my commentary in the first segment about the student response to the shootings, because you can't tell me that this is an organic movement. It's already been shown to be completely dominated now. The talking points, you know, this email that I received. I mean, this has to be the work of organizations that have an anti-gun, an anti-Second Amendment agenda. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. But going back to your initial comment, the way we started the show, most of these things aren't. I think a lot of us knew from the beginning that they are.
That they are what?
That they are. They're not organic.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying, though, is that what's happening now is that we're accepting it. Actually, we're doing more than accepting it. We're promoting it in the schools, right? We are promoting this idea that the professors and the faculty and the administrators are promoting this idea that everything is based on a social construct. And when that happens, one of the things that occurs is that you lose the concept of the individual who exists outside of the group identity, right? And, you know, I've talked about this before. I have gay friends, black friends. You know, I don't look at. I mean,
you're very diverse, Carl.
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny when people say that, because you always be like, oh, that's very, you know, hey, I've got a black friend or a gay friend or whatever. But, you know, you don't treat those friends like a black person. I mean, you of course recognize and identify that you know their diversity and the lens that they see life through, absolutely. But you don't identify them as whatever the group is that they belong to, right? You've heard me talk about this before. I had, you know, going through all this the RFRA stuff and restaurants refusing to serve, you know, gay eggs. You know, or bake a gay cake or something. It's like, come on, man, the cake's not gay. Serve the eggs, you know. But you just, you know, you recognize people as individuals, and you recognize that success most of the time, right? We don't live in an aristocracy anymore, but there are still that 1 or 2% that do exist. But most of the time, success is a function of you know, natural ability. It's a function of choice. It's a function of competence. It's a function of IQ. It's a function of how hard you work. And all of these choices are real, and they're individual choices. And when you accept those individual choices, you take on that personal responsibility for yourself, as opposed to looking outward at other factors and blaming those other factors for things that may or may not have gone your way. Anyway, you're listening to Carl Brizzi Live. We'll be right back.
You see me doing thrill seeker liquor store holdups with a Born to Lose tattoo on my chest?
No, I do not.
Right. I am never going back.
Then don't take down scores.
I do what I do best. I take scores. You do what you do best, trying to stop guys like me.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. Touch this.
All right, welcome back to Carl Brizzi Live. Carl Brizzi. So what we're talking about here is that what is going on campuses throughout the country, throughout Canada, in terms of the restriction of free speech and this social warrior agenda of identity politics, right? And what we're seeing is that anyone who disagrees with the idea of identity politics, or who agrees to the idea of taking personal responsibility, talking about competence, hard work, you know, natural attributes. Anyone who thinks that those things, as opposed to group identity, are the reasons for success, must be a white supremacist. You must be somehow a racist, Rob Kendall, if you don't think that there is a dominance hierarchy based on the fact that we are just white men.
How often do you get hit up with stuff like this in your real life?
So, well, I'll give you an example. So my wife is a successful professional attorney. She, all of her friends are successful professional females. And I can't tell you, I mean, there have been times where these women who are very, and you know, they're like, well, you're part of the, you know, the male hierarchy, you know, the dominance hierarchy. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You make more money than I do. You know, and it's mind-boggling to me. I mean, there are some situations where it's certainly advantageous to be a woman, right? I would think that there are many instances where it's advantageous to be a minority. I think there are many instances where it's advantageous to be gay, especially gay men. I mean, there's nothing cooler. You can't have a party without having gay men over.
What's a party like at your house? Like,
what? It's diverse, man.
Yeah, yeah. I picture you having big swanky gatherings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I come out, I have a velvet ascot on and top hat. But, and, you know, so these social justice warriors, they've come to the conclusion, and I think that this is what, you know, we're having a lot of fun with this, but I think this part is the takeaway here, is that they've come to the conclusion that a person's identity is more important than the argument that they're making, right? So people who would disagree with me would say, well, of course Brizzy thinks that because Brizzy is part of the white male dominance hierarchy, Republican, prosecutor, law enforcement guy, right? They would just lump me in to a category, and then they would, you know, completely dismiss my individual identity that makes me who I am, where I'm, you know, completely willing to listen to other people's views and tolerant of many, 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 many things. The one thing I'm not tolerant of is intolerance.
I like that. The one thing I'm not tolerant of is intolerance.
That's true, right? I mean, because that's what they're, if you go on YouTube and you punch in a search for campus protesters, what you see these anti-free speech people doing is shutting down free speech, right? Like Dr. Jordan Peterson, a Canadian psychologist who just wrote this book on 12 Rules for Life, an antidote of chaos, antidote for chaos. You know, he goes to universities throughout Canada and in the U.S., and they literally try to prevent him from speaking. I mean, that to me is totalitarianism, right? No one's trying to prevent these students from speaking. We want to hear them speak. We want to hear what you have to say. We're going to disagree. But I think it's because they can't back up their views. So what they do is they try to shut it down. They start banging on tables. They bang on windows. You know, they try to shout over people who are speaking. And that just tells me that there's no there, right? That they are the ones who are intolerant of ideas that they disagree with. I love talking to people who have different ideas. So this anti-free speech movement, this group identity politics, what they're doing with this whole anti-gun thing, this is all becoming the orthodoxy on college campuses. And the progressives who are responsible for this are under the delusion that they're going to make things better, that they're going to create some sort of utopia, some Garden of Eden here on planet Earth. And that's not the way that it works. This is not going to lead to enlightenment. It's the opposite of enlightenment. And it's sad. It's sad what's happening at the universities. They are not teaching. They are indoctrinating. They are stifling individual uniqueness, which is, I mean, that's the reason, right, to go to campus. I mean, these safe spaces in universities are ridiculous. I mean, university is where you go to be challenged. I was reading somewhere where there was a whole class dedicated to sort of either hate speech or, you know, uncomfortable ideas in novels. And the class got shut down because they were actually addressing uncomfortable ideas in novels. Somebody was actually offended because they were presented with an uncomfortable idea, which was exactly the whole reason for the class. But I think we really need to be careful. I don't think we just blindly send our kids to university without really exploring what's going on in the school, what their position is about these issues. And we have to make sure that that we're promoting individual uniqueness, that we understand that the primacy of reason is still number one. The protection of due process is part of that as well, as well as the fact that there is objective truth and that we need to be vigilant in our pursuit of that. Thanks for joining me, Carl Berzy Live.
So you never wanted a regular type life? The fuck is that? Barbecues and ball games? Yeah. This regular type life, that your life?
My life? No, my life. No, my life's a disaster zone. I got a stepdaughter so fucked up because her real father's this large type asshole. I got a wife. We're passing each other on the downslope of a marriage, my third. Because I spend all my time chasing guys like you around the block. That's my life.
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some skirts for the E so I could get some phones rolling in my.
Thanks for listening to Carl Berzy Live. Carl Berzy here. I appreciate you tuning in. You can look me up at on Facebook, Carl Berzy, Carl Berzy Live, as well as follow me on Twitter, at Carl Berzy. We do Carl Berzy Law over at Lewis & Wilkins. We do personal injury work as well as wills, trusts, and estates and other business litigation matters. Thanks for tuning in.
I'm all about the hustle. I'm all about the grind. Every day I'm trying to get it, take it one step back.